Hi there. I am doing a quick history talk today for Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm periscoping in case any of the homies want to join in on the talk. But if I look like I'm dressed weird, I'm wearing a long black shirt and a black cap. It's because I was just biking in the woods, listening to a book that a listener recommended. And if you hear something in the background, that's my beautiful son, Walter, playing with dog toys. I was biking in the woods, and it's good to keep wearing these hats in the summer. People think I'm a hipster out of the woods, but it keeps you from getting bit by mosquitoes and ticks and whatnot. All right, so I'm listening to a book called Made in America by Bill Bryson. The first chapter is so insanely interesting that I just biked home just to... someone said you're going to get shot. No, I'm not going to get shot because I live in a town of 3,000 people. So the last murder here was 7 years ago, and it was a domestic. A chick shot her husband. So people aren't very trigger happy in the mountains. But this book is so interesting. It's almost like this 3,000 people with 25,000 guns. That's legitimately probably true. Someone just wrote that in Periscope. All right, so it's called Made in America by Bill Bryson. And the first chapter alone, sometimes I feel spite. And that's a bad emotion. In the past, I've talked about the shadow self, who Jordan Peterson introduced me to, originally theorized by Jung, the psychoanalyst. You good, buddy? Speaking of Dr. Peterson, he was recently deplatformed off YouTube for no reason at all. So, and I've been getting emails from people being like, wow, I thought you were paranoid. Like, is there a dog in there? Hey, don't mess with Benny. Be nice. Give Benny kisses. Give Benny kiss. Give Benny kiss. Be gentle. There you go. Walter, get out of there. Wally, come here, buddy. It's all right. Come here. Come here. Get over here. Come over with Dada. Good job, buddy. All right, what was I talking about? Peterson? Oh, shadow self, spite. So sometimes I see other comedians and I get spiteful. Oh, his YouTube got shut down for no reason. It's now back up, but it was because he was going against narrative. He literally was a professor at Harvard. Like, this isn't a radical guy. This is a guy who just won't say that men can give birth to babies. And I did a tweet today about how to start a cult. And the best way to know if you have a cult follower is if you say something that everyone knows is false. Oh, and the man with the knowledge that makes the liberals lose their shit. How's life, bud? Good. Oh, man, I gotta stay focused because I got a good amount to cover. To start a cult, make someone say something that everyone knows is false. It's the first step to compliance, right? So if you say men can have babies... We all know that isn't true. It's a fact. A child knows that isn't true. Their mama is a mama, right? And so when you get people to say that men can have babies, then people will do anything you say at that point. Hey, buddy, come on. Come on, you can't do that. Come here. Come here, buddy. Sit over here with Dada. Dada's doing a history talk. You'll like this stuff. It's all about the settling of America. Okay, I'm just going to get right into it. By the way, thanks for being a Patreon subscriber. Patreon.com/WDTL. Because this little man needs diapers and stuff. All right, buddy. I don't know if I can do it with the man. I just picked you up and down about 1,000 times. But still, you want more. Remember when we danced to T.I.? Remember when we danced to T.I.? I've been driving around this road so long. Trying to find my way back home. Remember that, Justin Timberlake? You remember that? Oh. Talking about some real shit. Oh. No, how's that go? Oh, I've been running around this road. Nah, it's too high. Riding around this road so long, just trying to find my way back home. We're jamming to that earlier. All right. So anyway, I get a little spiteful, and I know spite is not a positive emotion. That's a shadow emotion. To every positive emotion has a shadow self. Like, for example, Envy and spite are the shadow emotions to, what's a good word for looking up to someone? Like appreciation or awe. Like, let's say you look at, like, I look up to Jordan Peterson, right? I would say that I'm in awe of him, or he is, I look up to him. Admiration, great, great word. The shadow of admiration is spite, where you are looking at something above you, and you either feel good or bad. And the shadow feels bad, and you feel good. Like, I look up to Jordan Peterson and say, wow, I'm so glad you exist because you're so smart. And I'm so glad you get all the accolades that you get. I feel the same way about Adam Sandler, Vince Vaughn, Trey Parker, Nick Swartzen, tons of people. You know, just there's a lot of people in the world that I look up to and go, great. And then there's people I look at and say, I hate you for it. And I think that, and that's my shadow self. And it's typically with people that I think are really bad at what they're famous for, or they're really, they're imposters. And so, I don't let that get to me too much, because it's negative to my life. The Dalai Lama has a great quote where he said, revenge, like seeking, like holding revenge or holding resentment towards somebody or wishing someone ill is like swallowing poison in an attempt to poison someone else. You know, it only hurts you. The shadow emotions only hurt you. Kind of like lust is the shadow emotion of passion. You know, the shadow emotion is kind of like the part of you that you don't have control over that can take you down. And then the positive side of it is the one that colors your life, passion. And then lust is the thing that could bring you into darkness. It's addiction is the shadow of ambition. Like obsession is right in the middle, where it's like what drives you, what makes you do something 80 times a day could turn into heroin or turn into Bach, you know? And so that's why I try to keep these emotions in check. And when I read history, it's so funny how a lot of the most famous people, the people that we all know their names, the one that get all the accolades, had the worst lives and were the biggest bunch of idiots on the planet. And all these people that got to engage in the fruits of the accomplishments and do all the cool stuff, you don't know their names because they didn't seek that. You know, I've always been wary of people that are ubiquitous, people that their name is like completely joined with something awesome, like Mother Teresa. You know, like when you think charity, you think Mother Teresa. That makes me feel wary of Mother Teresa. You know, you think nonviolent resistance, Gandhi. That makes me wary of Gandhi, because a lot of times the people that are actually the thing, you don't know their name. Because they just are it, right? And with some exceptions. And so this book, Made in America, is all about the birth and evolution of American language. Because I'm obsessed with language. Those of you that like my comedy have seen tons and tons and tons of jokes about what words mean and how people communicate and the evolution of words and all that stuff. I find it unbelievable, right? Like, eeny, meeny, miny, moe is older than the Romans' occupation of England. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe is how people used to talk or count thousands of years ago. I find that unbelievable, that these little nuggets will last millennia, and a lot of things will just die by the wayside. Like, here's another little tidbit. Ye, when people say like ye in Old English, or in, it's not Old English, it doesn't even sound like English. It's the in between modern English and old English, no one said ye. Ye was just shorthand script for the. Like, if you saw ye, like ye old tavern, you said the tavern. Ye was one letter short of the, and it made it easier for scribes. It was like, it was almost like shorthand and tweeting or texting. Like, ye never was, you never said ye. If you saw ye, you said the. So anyway, all right, so here's some hilarious. So if you look at the people that all our things are named after and all these very important events were around, a lot of them were just a parade of idiots. And that's not taking away from our culture and our history. Western culture, Western history is amazing. But you don't know the names of the amazing ones a lot of times. And you'd like Susie Dent. She does the word origin stuff as a career. Oh, I love that stuff. There's Mandela was a commie. I can see that. I can totally see that. Like anytime there's a name that's that big and that associated, let's just go through a bunch of misconceptions that make me laugh so hard it's hilarious. All right, Plymouth Rock. Everyone says that the, did you know William Shakespeare left his mark in 49 Psalm, King James translation of the Bible? Did not. All right, so everyone knows the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock in the early 1620s, right? They never landed on Plymouth Rock. In fact, that wouldn't have been possible. And Plymouth Rock was only first written in anything in 1715 by a C-grade poet. All right, I don't want to bash a poet. That's kind of a dick move. But they never landed at Plymouth Rock. It's navigationally impossible. And here's the thing: the Pilgrims weren't Puritans. They were called Separatists. The Puritans didn't come till 10 years later. The Pilgrims were a laughable bunch. They brought a hatter as a profession. They brought no cows, no livestock. One guy brought 135 pairs of shoes. They had no real special skills, and most of them died. And when they landed, they met an Algonquin named Squanto. And Squanto is a very famous Native American, right? Squanto. Here's something hilarious. This is all so funny to me. This makes me laugh so hard. The reason that the Pilgrims never learned Algonquin, which is what Squanto was because Squanto already spoke English. That should be a lesson to all of us that the dumbest person commands everything. Because Squanto could speak Spanish, English, and Algonquin, the Pilgrims didn't have to learn anything. Okay, Squanto's real name wasn't even Squanto. It was Tusquantum. And the Pilgrims were so weak-minded and ill-equipped and kind of just dumb and that they didn't even get his name right. We're going to get back to Squanto later because he's a huge factor in the English language. All right, Squanto was an enabler. Squanto has an amazing history. We're going to get to Squanto. All right, everybody knows that Columbus found America, right, in 1492. No. Actually, the Vikings landed in America in the year 1000 AD. That's a fact, right? Here's something you probably did not know. And my Irish homies are going to like this one. In 600, this is like real shit. And I don't think a lot of this stuff is really like widely talked about because the amount of mistakes are insane about the history of America. Okay, 600 AD, there's Irish writings, Navigato Sancti Brandanio Batis. That was Saint Brandon. He was an Irish saint, made it all the way to America based on another Irish guy's maps. This is in the year 600. This is almost 1,000 years before Columbus, right? Okay. That's what I'm saying. Like the Irish have kind of slipped under the radar. They beat the Vikings. Gets even funnier. Okay. When the Vikings landed, they have a lot of writing about that they met hordes of very scary, terrifying white people that had poles covered in rags. And the way they're described, the way Irish religious processions used to dress and act at the time. And they were very vicious people, and the Vikings were actually kind of scared of these guys. All right, here's another fascinating thing. The sport of lacrosse, which I played my whole life, it's a Native American sport. I played it in college, I played in high school, I played in middle school. I used to play in Canada with all the natives, right? Box lacrosse, we played in dry ice rinks. Brutal. You know, a lot of my best friends were always natives until they had their first beer and all went to jail. This is fascinating. So lacrosse is actually a Viking sport. And because of certain rules, historians have been able to link it directly to a sport from Scandinavia. They think that the Scandinavians brought lacrosse to America in the year 1000. I find that fascinating because I'm ethnically Irish, Scandinavian, and Czech, and I was always drawn to lacrosse for some odd reason. Victoria Island in northern Canada, that no one had even found this one tribe of people until the 21st century, they were white, and all their DNA came from Scandinavia. All right, now let's get to some of the heroes of the Western canon. We'll start with Christopher Columbus, right? We have an Ivy League school named after him, two state capitals, a country in South America, Washington, D.C., District of Columbia. I think that's not necessarily Columbus. I'm not going to say D.C. Every street has some sort of Columbus Circle, you know, Columbus Circle in Manhattan. Everything's named after Columbus, right? The guy was such a dipshit. Let's talk about Columbus. And by the way, I am not shitting on Western culture. All I'm saying is the people that we know their names a lot of times lived absolutely miserable lives. By Columbus's death, no one knows where he was buried, and he was in a debtor's prison. Okay. He died looking for Japan, and he thought Cuba was not an island. He thought it was Asia. I'm going to get to Amerigo Vespucci. Don't you worry. There's a ton of them. Okay. He cut off the tongues of any of his shipmates that refused to say that Cuba was in fact Asia. And of course, he called the Native Americans Indians because he thought he was in India. He never actually set foot on the mainland of America at all. By the way, the Irish beat him by almost 1,000 years. Let's keep going. All right. Verrazano. The Verrazano Bridge in New York. Great man, right? He was eaten by cannibals. Okay, we have Balboa, another major figure in American lore. He was a great explorer. He was executed by his friend Pizarro, who was also executed. Then we have DeSoto, who tramped around Florida looking for the Fountain of Youth, and of course he never found it, and he died of fever, and people think he was also eaten. All right, California is named after Queen Khalifa, a very rich queen who never existed. Isn't that kind of telling of our state of California? That it was named after Queen Khalifa, and she never actually existed. If any of you guys have any disputes, by the way, feel free to email me at whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com. I looked up a bunch of these facts, and they check out. Amazon is named after a tribe of one-breasted women that never existed. Of course, Sir Walter Raleigh, who has a state capital named after him, was executed. Hudson, of course, of Hudson Bay and Hudson River, was lost at sea. No one found him again. This is my favorite one. There was an explorer named Frobisher, and he has his own bay in northern Canada. You know, I learned about Frobisher in school. Listen to how much of a dumb dipshit Frobisher was. Okay. Yeah, these people might have been great guys. By the way, I'm not saying they're bad people, right? I'm just saying that a ton of the people that you don't know their names actually did a bunch of shit that you don't even know their names. And I'll get to more examples of that. A lot of times the people that you remember their names, what's my estimate? It's a funny question. None, to my knowledge. All right, so Frobisher found 1,500 tons. Hey, cute boy, wanna come over and check this out? Frobisher found 1,500 tons of what he thought was gold in the Arctic. And he brought it back to Europe, and they told him it was iron pyrite, right? Okay, So he goes back, another 1,500 tons of gold. He brings back to Europe iron pyrite. He got it wrong twice, and then no one ever heard from him again. Okay, then of course you have Amerigo Vespucci, who was just a random dude. He never even made it to America. He made it to the Caribbean, and he was just a passenger. He was a lowly officer, not even good at being a sailor. He wrote some letters, and some dude in another country read the letters and then named... the other dude thought that Vespucci found America and then named all of it after him. The only actual claim to fame Amerigo Vespucci has is they think his brother was the model for Botticelli's Venus. The first known European to actually make it to America besides the Irish and the Vikings was John Cabot. And this is when things get very interesting. In the 1470s, this is just interesting shit. And don't get weird that I'm like knocking, because I don't like when people knock heroes all the time, you know, and take down statues and say Christopher Columbus was awful and all that. I'm not saying these people are bad. I'm just saying that it's a comedy of errors. This is when you really know that the real gangsters, the real OGs, the people with actual power and shit. Do I have trolls on here? Hang on. This is fascinating. All right, here we go. The real OGs, you don't know their name. Okay, in 1470, Iceland, it was named Iceland because the Vikings were playing a very elaborate trick. They wanted people to stay away from Iceland and go to Greenland, which was actually not green. It was icy, and Iceland was actually green. Classic Eric the fucking Red or something. But in 1470, the British lost their fishing rights of cod off Iceland. So they got super bummed out, and their cod production went down. And then by 1475, the British cod fishing catch reached previous levels plus more. People think there's almost no way around this, that they were fishing in Newfoundland and just didn't tell anybody. They literally didn't want anyone to know where the good fish was. So in 1475, all these British fishermen were going to the New World. By the way, you can make it from England to Newfoundland only going 200 miles between islands. I did not know that. All right, so they would fish in Newfoundland and come back, but they didn't tell anybody because they wanted the fish. And then dumbass Christopher Columbus told everybody and got all this fame and then died in a debtor's prison. Okay. So Squanto ended up getting, he was briefly a slave in Spain, and then he worked in England for a while. And then he came back to the New World. And I see him almost like the Sammy Davis Jr. of the New World, because he was this native. I don't like to use Native American because I'm Native American, like because I'm born in America. I just don't like to say Indian because that confuses me with my buddies from India. So I don't really know what to say. American Indians? No, Squanto wasn't Spanish. He was Algonquin. So anyway, he spoke English, lived in England for a while after being a slave, but he was a very forgiving man. And he really liked Western culture and Americans and English people. So he translated for John Smith. Squanto is almost like the Abraham of American English. Like, he was the guy translating so much stuff that a lot of stuff, indigenous American, but I'm an indigenous American. Like, I don't know if someone's writing, by the way, if you're just listening to this off iTunes or off YouTube or something, I'm reacting to some of my Periscope people. What do I think of cultural appropriation? It's insanely stupid. Like, I do a bit about cultural appropriation, about being in a bar and on Halloween, and I'm wearing a sombrero because me and my buddy are Jose and Hose B. And this little dude, little white guy, I'm in LA, comes up to me and goes, "Excuse me, Owen, that's cultural appropriation." And I didn't know what cultural appropriation meant because I'm fun to be around. So I Googled it and I found out what it was. It's when one culture adapts something of another culture. And I had previously done a cancer walk with this offended white man a few months before in Los Angeles, which I always thought was silly, doing a skin cancer awareness walk outside. But you don't question those things. You just do it, or else people say that you like skin cancer because no one is very logical. All right, so anyway, so I started thinking, should I take off the sombrero? This little white is offended, and I'm like, no, I bought this sombrero off a Mexican in Mexico who was really excited to sell it to me and had nicknamed me Gringo Stupido, which I believe is Spanish for white man with big penis. Gringo Stupido. Puta. Puto. All right, so anyway, I thought about it. Should I take off the sombrero? And I was like, cultural appropriation. But this little white guy was driving a Subaru, which was a lesbian car. He had appropriated the Subaru from the lesbian community because the Subaru is great for lesbians because it has four-wheel drive. It can make it up a mountain, but it's also sleek and feminine. He said, that's not funny, Owen. I said, I know it's not funny. I'm still trying to deal with your concept of cultural appropriation. This, bear in mind, this is a guy who recently told me that going for a walk in a park raises awareness and helps cure skin cancer in the beating California sun. All right, anyway, so I thought to myself, should I take off the sombrero? No, and I'll tell you why. Because the sombrero is a big brimmed hat. And if anyone needs a sombrero, it's white people, because the sun is not our amigo. The sun is very damaging to the skin of Gringo Stupido, right? So we need a big-ass brim to protect ourselves. This is how funny life is. The people with the whitest skin have the smallest hats, Jews. They have little tiny hats they call yarmulkes. They just put on their head. It doesn't protect them from the sun at all. It actually looks like a swim cap for kittens, right? So I propose that Mexicans and Jews switch hats, and that's how we cure skin cancer, not your little walk in the park. Those people need problems. They clearly don't have enough. Yeah, cultural appropriation is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. I've thought about it for months and months and months. And I do have, I'm very against leftism, but I do have friends that are very leftist that I like and talk to a lot. And the ones that aren't insane, like on Twitter, you only meet insane people, right? Like they're like, how dare you, racist, you know, but I know some that are legit cool. And this one girl was trying to explain to me what cultural appropriation is. And she was like, listen, I get what you're saying, but what it is when one culture makes something and then white people just take it and make it super famous, like rock and roll, like what Elvis did, or like Eminem, what he did with rap. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's what a lot of Hollywood did with trucker hats. Like, there is no white. When people say white, that doesn't mean anything. Like, white? Like, a trucker wearing a trucker hat, and then Ashton Kutcher culturally appropriates a trucker hat, and all of a sudden, a trucker feels like a fag. Why is Hollywood doing this? Because they're bored and stupid. How many of Sullivan and Son were leftists? None. Sullivan and Son was produced by complete libertarians. I don't know if you guys, now that it's off the air, I can be pretty honest about that. Vince Vaughn is not a leftist. All right, so anyway, yeah, that's one reason the show got taken off the air. It was the number one show for 3 years. It showed a black guy, an Arab, a white guy, and a Korean family getting along with comedy because we made fun of each other. And that isn't leftism at all. Leftism is about making everyone a victim and no one is allowed to joke or culturally appropriate. Cultural appropriation is how you get along. That's how you get along. You share food, you share customs, you share jokes. You make fun of each other, you share food, you share customs, and that is the only way that multiculturalism works, is you call a mad sleeper cell and make fun of them. That's how you get along with Muslims. You go, sleeper cell, Brian Doyle Murray. You shut up over there, sleeper cell. If I call your cell phone, will a bomb go off? And he goes, Brian, you shut your fucking Mick mouth. That's how you get along with Muslims. You don't go, don't say anything. If you say anything, they will explode. Fucking awful. I hate leftisms. Leftisms. All right. So I just wanted to share this stuff about, this is just the first chapter of this is just the first chapter of this book. I can't wait to share more of it. This isn't really a why did this will be on my Why Didn't They Laugh podcast, but it's not even on UK Netflix. No, it's on Amazon though, Amazon.com. But they tried to wipe it off the face of the earth. Let me tell you how much that leftist thought is. Let me give you a little example. Okay, Sullivan and Son is the first TV credit Leslie Jones ever got. Let that sink in. Steve Byrne pushed, because Leslie Jones is a phenomenal stand-up comedian. Everyone's known her for 20 years in LA doing stand-up. She is insanely funny live, right? She does a bit about how she'd be like the best slave because she would have just been breeding, because she's like 6'4 and just, you know? Leslie's the one Milo made fun of. Yeah, but she's awesome. She's awesome, right? She does a bit. She's like, bitch, you want Shaq? Do you want LeBron? She's like, I'm a motherfucking breeder. You know, she's amazing. So anyway, my podcast is Why Didn't They Laugh? But you could also subscribe to my YouTube, youtube.com/OwenBenjaminComedy. All right, so Leslie's phenomenal. She plays Ahmed's girlfriend in Sullivan and Son. Steve had to push to get her on the show because she had no credits. No one knew who the fuck she was. Cut to Saturday Night Live needs a black lady because all of a sudden the Illuminati's upset and they need a black woman bad. So they put Leslie Jones in there. Of course she crushes because she's funny as shit. Then they fast track her to movie stardom, probably a little quick. That's probably why she, had some growing pains. But she's still great. If I saw Leslie, she's awesome as a person. She got a lot of shit because everyone's just coming at her, you know. But the reason I'm telling you this story, okay, Margaret Cho was on the show. She played one of Steve's cousins on it, right? I'm listening to Margaret Cho on some podcast recently, and she said that she's Fresh Off the Boat or some shit, some new sitcom, is the first Asian sitcom since her sitcom, which was called Margaret Cho Eats Pussy or some shit. I have no idea what she called hers. And I'm listening to this, I'm like, not only are you lying, Sullivan and Son was a sitcom with an Asian lead. You were on the fucking show. Like, did you conveniently forget it? Because, no, it's not, because our show never got any press at all. And it was the number one show on TBS. It never got any press because it didn't follow the narrative. You saw a black guy, a white guy, an Arab, and an Asian all getting along drinking beers because it was real. The real way people get along is they make fun of each other's culture, ethnicity, race, food, face, teeth, height. And don't even think for a second it was white supremacy, because my character was, the ongoing joke is that I was having sex with my mother and I was so stupid I had to wear a helmet. It was a phenomenal show. And I'm not saying that because I was on it. It was fucking funny, dude. And it got wiped. And I know shows get canceled, and I'm not even doing conspiratorial shit. The only reason I have the conspiracy theory, because great shows get canceled all the time, is because it's been wiped from memory. Like, no one in LA talked about it. No one in LA even references it. People on the goddamn show don't even admit they were on it. And we had some monster fucking cameos, man. And so that, I don't get royalties, but I made a lot of money on that show. Like every episode I made a good chunk, to the point where I got to buy property and shit. So I was treated great. But, Louis C.K.'s show at the time, and I love Louis' stand-up, was getting 200,000 viewers an episode. Our show was getting 3.1 million viewers an episode. Louis was getting 200,000 viewers an episode. You never stopped hearing about Louis' show. And Louis' show was only funny to people in the business. It was about a self-loathing 45-year-old chubby guy who hates himself and is divorced and hates his children and is trying to make his comedy career work and is full of rage and anger. Granted, I found it funny because I'm a comedian. Yeah, exactly. Someone just said it's a good show. Yeah, I find it funny because I'm a comedian. And I'm watching that and I'm like, yeah, I've been through that. That's funny. That's exactly real life. But the average person doesn't want to watch a guy just hate himself in the comedy business. That's why it got 200,000 viewers an episode. Sullivan and Son was based on real life. It was a bar comedy. It was like Cheers. It was multicultural Cheers, right? Just checking. It's definitely not on European Amazon. Yeah, man. It's just got wiped. Wiped clean. Yeah. Louis didn't do it for me. Louis' stand-up is very smart. This is the one question I will, this is the one criticism I will say of Louis that I don't, that why Dave Chappelle and Bill Burr and Norm MacDonald and a few others are above Louis. Sebastian, Nick Swartzen. I can name a bunch of people that I find funnier. Louis's in the top 10. This guy just hates other successful people. Someone just said that about me. Louis did it for me. This guy just hates other successful people. All right. Yeah, I'm a dumb fuck. All right, well, maybe that's why I didn't get it. I can't tell if you're heckling me or not. I don't understand. I think in UK we don't care if comedy's PC or not. TV. Yeah, that's why I do well in the UK. You guys are a different breed. You don't have the American toxicity yet. It may come, though. No comedian can give props. I'm giving props right now. Are you talking to me right now? No comedian can give props to another comedian. I'm listing comedians that I look up to. All right, so anyway, Kirk Fox, another great one. Nah, dog, I'm doing a self-deprecating bit. Oh, I don't understand. Okay, I don't know what you're saying. Dane Cook. Dane Cook used to be funny. Now he's not funny. His new material is insanely stupid. But his first two albums were awesome. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. Louis sometimes can write a little quick. I think he got into an hour a year pace. And sometimes his material wasn't developed. Because his first couple hours were some of the funniest. Like his bit about his child asking the question why is probably the funniest joke ever written because it hits on so many levels. It's so true. There's so much psychological depth to it. And what was your favorite SNS episode? I think when me and Carol sang songs together, the mother and son karaoke, when it was all like really sexual stuff. I'm not going to talk about Sullivan and Son anymore because maybe I am sounding like a dick, like I'm being resentful, but I promise I'm not being resentful. Oh, yeah, Big J's great. Norton's amazing. Rogan's amazing. Well, I know who's a really funny stand-up that a lot of you guys don't know about, I'm guessing, is Dave Smith. He has a podcast called Part of the Problem, and he has an hour special out called Libertas. He's a very, very intelligent, very good comedian. What was the perfect stand-up in your opinion? All right, I'll just answer questions for the next 5 minutes and then I'll get out of here. Nick DiPaolo is great. The best stand-up in my opinion. I think Dave Chappelle's Killing Him Softly is one of the best stand-ups ever made. Like that special is unbelievable. I like Mulaney. I do. This is something you probably don't know about me that you probably wouldn't assume at all. Is some of my favorite comedy is hipster. Is two of my favorite comedy shows on television are shows that you would never think I would like because I'm so not into like hipster social justice warrior shit. Portlandia, I find hilarious. And I also find, Billy Connolly is amazing. He's Scottish. Portlandia and Documentary Now are two of the funniest comedies on television. And a lot of people, when I say that, they're like, why would you think that? That's all social justice warrior shit. I'm like, no, it's almost like comedy Black Mirror. It's like making fun of a lot of technology. I think Fred Armisen and Brownstein, Carrie Brownstein are just so talented. And Documentary Now, the pacing is slow and a lot of people aren't going to like it, but it's brilliant in its commitment to the reality of the joke. Yeah, it's just like, because it's not, it's funny for people who are funny, I think. Yeah, Mitch Hedberg's amazing. Amazing. But those are two of the funniest shows. The hipster type of social justice warrior comedy that I despise is the mainstream type. Like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think, is one of the worst shows I've ever seen in my life. It's awful. And the reason I brought up Portlandia is because John Mulaney writes and produces, I think, Portlandia and Documentary Now. And so for that alone, I have a lot of respect for him as a comedian. And New in Town was funny. And I give him that for sure. 99 is so bad because it's not funny. Yeah, well, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is just, it's terrible. It's just not set in reality. Nothing about it is funny. I still like Family Guy. I think the best comedy on television is South Park. And by far. Why do all comedians die young? Excuse me. I think a lot of, it's the shadow self. I think to be funny, you have to have a dark side. And I think a lot of times, the dark side can overtake comedians because of our lifestyle. You know, if you don't have a family. Yeah, Greg Giraldo is probably one of the best writers who's ever lived. Literally. And when you're alone in a hotel room all day, every day, and then you get love for 2 hours, just love, and then you're alone and with a bottle, you know, or the porn sites or coke or just your self-hate, you know, just unlimited sex with strangers that don't really love you, that can kill you, like literally kill you. So that's why I think a lot of comedians die young. Is there any way to start comedy just doing crowd work? Yes, Dave Attell, who's one of the best comedians around, is great at crowd work. He did a whole special about crowd work. Moshe Kasher is a hoe and he stole my nigga Duncan Trussell's chick. That's funny. I've had some nice conversations with Moshe, but he's not really my cup of tea. He's the one who believes in like systematic, patriarchal, like shit that isn't set in reality. Jeff Dunham's very talented. I hear he's a dickhead, but he has his own helicopter, which I'm very impressed with. Moshe is a libtard. I don't know. I try not to get too political. I try to talk more about culture. Am I still into Mr. Robot? Yes. Mr. Robot's a phenomenal show. We all need to start a comedy thread on Twitter for all of their stupid National Day Ofs. Yeah, ever do coke with Artie Lang? No. Hal Sparks, nice? Yeah, Hal's amazingly nice. Sullivan and Son gone too soon, for sure. I may get shit for this, but I do watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Oh, watch whatever you want. Bill Bailey's great. If I say something sucks, yeah, I'm friends with Bill Burr, he's amazing. If I say something sucks, that just means I think it sucks. Like, people smarter than me and funnier than me probably love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And I have no right to tell them they're wrong. I'm just telling you what I believe. Because I'm following this thing now in my life that I say exactly what I believe at all times. I'm not like cruel with it. Like, I will bend and twist a little bit just to not be a mean-spirited person. But, like, I'm all about just saying, like, not bending my reality because it makes me so happy. So if I say something like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine sucks or Aziz Ansari sucks, it's not because I'm a hater. In fact, it is better for me to not do that because, like, it's never good for your career to talk shit. But I feel so awful when I pretend I like something I don't like. Bill Bailey is amazing. Yeah, he's great. I think Howard had to move on with his show because it was never the same when Artie left. Yeah, Artie was his shadow self. how accurate is I'm dying up here? I'm dying up here. I haven't seen it yet. And I'm friends with Santino. So I feel like an asshole. I gotta watch I'm Dying Up Here because Santino's amazing. I'm also friends with Eric Griffin and a couple other people on that show. So I'm very supportive of that show, but I haven't seen it. I just did Philly. I'll come back though. You're entitled to your opinion. Everyone likes different things. Oh, totally. But we do live in a reality. I know that, you know that, but we live in a reality now where people get really angry at opinions, and I'm just acknowledging that that's reality. I know it's okay to have my own opinion, but I'm just letting you guys know that it's okay to not agree with me, and I do not resent you for it. I do not believe in clones. I don't want everybody to agree with me because I would feel like I was in a dystopian nightmare. If everyone agreed with me, I would think I lost my mind. All right, here we go. I'm going to close now. I'm going to sing a song of everything that I am reading on Periscope. Alex Jones, have you ever watched Black Mirror? Are you going to read D'Souza's book? How's your pilot coming? I'm very supportive of that show, but I haven't seen it. Definitely been watching Zoolander. Would you ever join the Gas Digital Network? If everyone agrees with me, you're in a cult. White men have small penises. Owen is awesome. My penis is big still. What does that say? Bunty King is a scab of the skeptic community. I farted and might be in trouble. crazy. My cat farts pecans. Chooses Ron Hollywood. I like Sargon of Akkad. Cod, cod, cod. By the way, I love Portlandia. You wouldn't give a crippled crab a crutch. Will there ever be a boy born who can swim faster than a shark? John Podesta is my hero. Jordan Peterson, shout out, help him get back on YouTube. I love this season of Game of Thrones. So... America. Glenn Beck is in love with Al Jones. Al Jones, I love cock. Thanks, man. I love cock. Hollywood is full of pedophiles. I love America more. Scaramucci, Scaramucci, do the Fandango, Fandango. Okay, that was intense. I feel like I lost my mind. Okay, join Patreon at patreon.com/WDTL if you want to support. Because I'm making hats, Feed the Bear hats. I want to send them to my higher ranking Patreons. I promised I would never rank the Patreons, whether it's a dollar a month or 20 a month or whatever. But I literally can't give the dollar people the same as the 20 people because that's such a dick move. And I'm making sweet Feed the Bear hats and I want to send them out to you guys. Lost your mind as in a recent thing. Also, youtube.com/OwenBenjaminComedy. If you don't have any spare cash to do Patreon, that's absolutely fine. No judgment whatsoever. Help me with the algorithm. So subscribe, spread that shit. Subscribe and spread that shit. Subscribe and spread that shit. If you had one algorithm and that algorithm hated your opinions because you didn't think dudes can give birth and have periods on my PayPal, if you go to hugepianist.com, you can donate to my next hour special. Fortunately, I had a very brave Scotsman give me a full budget for my special Feed the Bear, but I'm already planning another special after that, so you can go Patreon or being dicks. I know, but we got to just use it until we develop our own thing. That's just a fact. I'm not a programmer. I don't know what to do, so stay on my Patreon because it's important for my livelihood. So do that, and did you see that YouTube just teamed up with ADL to shut people now? Who's ADL? Yeah, they deplatformed fucking Jordan Peterson. They're coming at us. Yeah, I got a pilot with True TV right now. Who's ADL? Shooting the True TV pilot this weekend. It's I can tell you guys the sketch now because no one can steal it because it's happening right now. I'm trying to start my own mom and pop prison. Anti-Defamation League is teaming up with YouTube. Shut the fuck up. They're releasing all these rules? Man, this is going to cause... people are just going to start burning shit. All right, so anyway, the sketches, I'm like, listen, private prisons are a great way to make money, and I want in on this gravy train. So I try to start my own mom-and-pop prison, and I see all the how hard it is to do. It's going to be fucking hilarious. And I keep calling my